21. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest.
To 21, John chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Let's bow our heads together as we study, as we look at the Word of God. Let's ask God's help just to open our understanding. Help us to see the truth in this passage this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much again just to be here for your people who have gathered together. And Lord, we know that there's a part of us that desires to go its own way. And yet for those who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you have given us a new nature. You have brought to us this new birth. And God, we realize that even today we can open the Word of God and we can see it and hear it, understand it, apply it in our lives and be changed. God, we know that this is your work. So as we now look at this scripture this morning, as we once again just turn our thoughts toward Jesus and his message to Nicodemus, may this message be real to us today. We thank you and praise you for what you'll do through your word in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. You know, I'd like to read that passage again. Just follow along with me. Keep in mind that Jesus is speaking here to Nicodemus. We're still in this part of John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. He is speaking about the new birth. That's important that we keep that context in our minds. We've just spent several weeks looking at John 3:16. Very familiar verse. We've looked at that in some detail. Now Jesus continues. Look what he says. He says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." I want to begin this morning with a word, and it's an important word, but it's a word that we don't talk a lot about. I mean, we don't talk about this word or this truth at the dinner table. We don't normally talk about this word or this truth at the lunchroom at work. We don't talk about this word around the campfire at a picnic, or even in a casual conversation with our neighbor. It's a word that we don't embrace. It's a word that actually hangs over our individual lives, in our city, in our nation, in our planet. It's like a dark cloud that looms on the horizon of our existence. And folks, that word is judgment. Judgment. It's not something that we think a lot about, but there is something within us that knows it's there. That dark cloud of judgment is out there. Folks, the Creator of the universe has determined a time of reckoning, a time of accounting, a time when all things in the universe will be set straight and right. And this is the judgment that I lay before you this morning. I want you to look at our passage, because in this passage today, Jesus talks about judgment. Look at verse 17. He says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Verse 18. "He who believes in Him is not condemned or judged, but he who does not believe is condemned or judged already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19. "And this is the condemnation," or the judgment, "that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." When we look at this passage and we think about these words, or even this word that I've mentioned, this word judgment, this word that we don't often think about, this word that we don't really share or talk about with one another, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about this word. He talks to Nicodemus about this action, this event, this thing that looms over Nicodemus. And folks, it's very clear that as Jesus wraps up His conversation with Nicodemus, He wants Nicodemus to see and to understand the seriousness and the gravity of the truth that Jesus has just shared with him. You know, it's amazing, when we study through John chapter 3, and rightly so, we focus on John 3:16. What a verse, what a statement that summarizes this great salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. But yet sometimes we stop with verse 16, don't we? And we need to put that verse 16 in the context, and that's what we've tried to do in the last several weeks, to put it in the context of this full message that Jesus is giving to Nicodemus. And therefore, we move past verse 16, because the dark cloud of judgment is over Nicodemus. And folks, without Jesus Christ, that same dark cloud of judgment hangs over us today. I believe that Jesus wants Nicodemus not only to see the reality of the judgment, but also the rescue that's available from that judgment. So we have these words now before us this morning so that we can see it also. Let's look closely at these last words that Jesus speaks to Nicodemus. So we begin with a summary of Jesus' words. Let's get our thoughts directed now in the right place. We need to set the stage for these last words of Jesus to Nicodemus. And I think we can summarize verses 16 to 18 in several steps. First of all, God loved the world. We think about John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Folks, this is a statement of fact. This is a statement of truth. God loved the world. You can mark that down. You can bank on it. You can live your lives on that truth, that God loved the world. But then there's a second step. The act of this love was the giving, or the sending, of the only Son of God into the world to die. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son," His only begotten Son. Verse 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now we know that the death of the Son of God is in view here, because in John chapter 3 verse 14, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And He spoke those words concerning His death. The Son of Man would be lifted up. God sent His Son into the world to die. Think about this. God loved the world, And God loved the world. He proved that. He showed that by sending His Son, God the Son, into the world to die. Then here's a third step or a third truth. This giving or this sending of the Son is love. It proves God's love. It manifests God's love. And it's love, folks, because He is God's Son. He is God the Son. He's not a bull. He's not a goat. He's not a lamb that is sacrificed. He is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who was sacrificed for us. God the Son was sent to die for man's sins. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, God did not spare His own Son. So this is love. God gave His Son. And it's love because this giving or this sending of the Son opens a door to eternal life to all those who are condemned, all those who were judged, all those who were under God's wrath. And folks, that's everyone. And so the good news we would say this morning is that the door is open. God has opened the door. The door is there. The door is open. God sent His Son. He loved the world. His Son died. He sent His Son because He loved. It's love because the way to experience this eternal life is simply by believing the Son and not working for the Son. This is love. And so this sending of the Son is love because it was deeply costly to God. It was infinitely beneficial to us, and it was absolutely free. That's the summary. That's verses 16 through 18 in a summary fashion. That then brings us to the final truths that Jesus would share with Nicodemus. Important truths. When we look at these verses, it becomes obvious that Jesus is saying the same thing to Nicodemus that He said before, but He says it in a different way. Let me give you an example. Let's compare verse 18 with verse 16. Look at verse 18. He says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." Now look at verse 16. We know it well. "Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see, Jesus is actually saying the same thing, but He's saying it in a little different way. In verse 16, the result of believing or not believing is either perishing or eternal life. In verse 18, the result of believing or not believing is either being condemned or not condemned. And so again, what is happening here, Jesus is sharing the same truth. He's sharing it in a different way, and that tells us just how important it is. We think of ourselves, how oftentimes people will share something with us, and they share it in some way, and we step back and we say, well, I don't quite understand it, but yet they can share the same truth in a little different way, and it clicks with us. We understand it. Jesus is sharing the same truth with Nicodemus in these verses that follow, but He's doing it in a little different way. He's now moving from the language of spiritual life and spiritual death to the language of guilty and not guilty. In other words, He changes to legal language. He changes to the language of the courtroom. And it's fitting that He would do this because before Him is Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the master of the law, the legal expert in Israel. And now Jesus changes and He moves now to this legal language. He uses the language of the law. Condemned, judged, guilty, legal language. Now look at verse 17, because verse 17 raises a question. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So if Christ did not come to judge, then a legitimate question we can ask this morning is this: then why are some judged? If He didn't come to judge, then why are some people judged? Well, verse 18 explains that even though some are judged and condemned, it's because they are already in that condition when Jesus came. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, look at this, is condemned already. He's judged already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's judged already. He's condemned already. John 3:36 says that the wrath of God abides or remains on him. Now let's step back just for a moment. Let's think this through. Let's understand this. Because this is important because it helps us understand, folks, that Jesus did not come to a neutral world. Jesus did not come to a neutral world. When Jesus came, some people did not move from neutrality to be anti-Jesus. Or some people did not move from neutrality to be pro-Jesus because nobody was neutral. No one is neutral. Then or now. No one is neutral. As a matter of fact, you look into the Scriptures and the Scriptures say, we're all guilty. We're all sinners. We're all perishing. We're all under God's righteous wrath and judgment. And we are all already condemned. Now, looking from the human perspective, even as we think about those truths, whether we stay that way depends on how we respond to Jesus. And oh, folks, I can't say that. I can't say it again as clear. It all comes back to Jesus. It comes back to our response to Jesus. We've seen this here in John chapter 3, how Jesus takes Nicodemus down this pathway that focuses Nicodemus on Jesus, the one who will be lifted up, the Son of God, the one that will deliver us from perishing, the one that will deliver us from condemnation. So it comes back to Jesus. You see, Jesus did not come to make neutral people pro-Jesus people, but he came to make guilty people non-guilty people. He came to make condemned people not condemned people. He came to make dead people eternally alive people. And folks, God doesn't owe this to anyone. God doesn't have to do this. He's not compelled to do this. That Jesus came and Jesus offered and some accept by the grace of God, it's all undeserved. It's all by the mercy and the grace and the love of God. But then that brings us back to the word judgment. Because there is a judgment. According to verse 17, Jesus did not come to judge, he came to save. That was his purpose, and it was a merciful and gracious purpose. And folks, I am glad that he came to save. I am glad that he was merciful and gracious. But what does it mean that there is no judgment? Look at verse 19. Because Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, or this is the judgment. So there is indeed a judgment that came into the world. When Jesus came, when Jesus opened his mouth, when Jesus proclaimed truth, when people saw his works and they witnessed his power, there was a dividing that was taking place. Some would escape judgment. Some would continue in judgment. And folks, there's a sense that even though Jesus did not come to judge, that judgment is happening. So there is a judgment that came into the world. Now look with me closely at verse 19, because Jesus will describe this judgment. He says, and this is the condemnation, or this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So the light has come into the world. And folks, that light is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is the very presence of God Himself. And so when the Word became flesh, the light
came into the world. God is light, and God was manifested to the world of men in Jesus Christ. So Jesus then is the light of truth and the light of life and the light of righteousness and the light of wisdom and the light of knowledge and the light of creation. Jesus is the purpose of all things. He is the origin of all things. He is the meaning of all things. He's the truth of all things. And folks, when Jesus came, when the light of the world came, the truth of all things came. The truth about God, the truth about ourselves, the truth about salvation, the truth about evil, the truth about wickedness, the truth about how we ought to live. And so when verse 19 says that this is the judgment, the light has come into the world, this means that Jesus, the light, is the basis of judgment. Judgment then becomes centered on Jesus. Judgment is based on how we respond to Jesus. So how do we respond to Jesus? Perhaps I should ask you this morning, how have you responded to Jesus? How do we respond? How do we respond to Jesus? There are two responses to Jesus, the light. First of all, there's the negative response to Jesus. Verse 19 says, men love darkness rather than the light. Verse 19, men do evil deeds. Verse 20, those who practice evil hate the light. Verse 20, they will not come to the light. Verse 20, they do not want their deeds exposed. In other words, folks, they love darkness. They hate the light. They will not come. And so what Jesus is giving us in these words is actually a glimpse into the inner workings of unbelief. He's giving us a glimpse into the heart of those who do not believe. He's digging here into the very soul of sinful man. So why do people not believe on Jesus? Here's the answer. We love sin. We love darkness. We hate the light. We will not come to the light. When Christ, the light of the world, begins to shine on a person's life, folks, it will either break that person and lead that person to repentance and faith, or it will drive that person further into darkness. You see, sin is so ugly and hideous and terrible that it must surround itself with darkness. It must live in deceit and delusion. It hates the light. It loves the darkness. It will not come to the light of Jesus. And so this then is the judgment. This is the condemnation. The guilt of not coming to Jesus lies in the heart of man. We don't come to Jesus because we don't want to come to Jesus. There's a bondage. There are chains forged in the heat of our own desires and our own wants. We love the darkness and we hate the light, and we do not come to the light, who is Jesus. But that then brings us to a positive response, because we've glimpsed the inner workings of unbelief. But what about belief? Look at verse 21. Jesus says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Now let's understand this. Let's understand what Jesus is saying. Whoever is doing the truth and living by the light comes to the light. In other words, those who are living and practicing truth show that they're coming to the light, or that they're in the light. And when one lives in the light and comes to the light, it will be clear that his doing and his acting and his living has been the work of God, not himself. And therefore, the ultimate contrast between the believer and the unbeliever is not that one hates the light and the other loves it. Now, this is true and this is important. And the ultimate contrast is not that the unbeliever will come to Jesus and the believer will come. And this is true and this is important. But folks, the ultimate contrast is that the believer, the one who comes to the light, the one who comes to Jesus, comes by the grace of God. He comes by the work of God within him. He comes because God is a merciful God and a gracious God who works in his heart and brings him to the light. He comes because of the grace of God, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And therefore, there is a deep, profound sense of God-dependent humility that in every good thing that the believer does, the one who is in the light, the believer, the things that they do only or are able only to do in God himself. And folks, that means that it's only by God's grace and only by God's power. One translation says verse 21 like this, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Oh, folks, this morning there is a judgment that came into the world when Jesus Christ, the light, came into the world. And this judgment reveals that the guilt of not coming to Jesus lies in the very heart of man that loves darkness and hates the light. But the grace of coming to Jesus and living in the truth of Jesus comes from the very heart of God, who is full of mercy and full of grace. And therefore, Jesus ends his conversation with Nicodemus with a clear contrast. There's perishing, there's eternal life. There's believing, there's not believing. There's judgment, there's not judgment. And this is the judgment, that the light, Jesus Christ, has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Jesus closes his time with Nicodemus, I think, with an implied invitation. We don't see it clearly in the Scripture, but yet you see it as we've moved through this passage, that Nicodemus should leave the realm of darkness and unbelief and embrace by faith Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And so I close with these questions. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to the light of the world? His name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads.